Accession number 12710, Mr. John Avery, Reel 16.
Mr. J. Avery, Reel 16. You'd been in quite a number of actions now.
Quite a few then.
Is a battlefield like in the midst of it all, in the midst of the action?
Well, as I say, I reckon there's the noise of guns going off, like, you know, utterly every machine gun and every caliber of thing, tracers flying, like, you know. Right, left, and centre sort of style, you know, and to get anyone thinking, say if he was at a distance, you had to shout like, or if he was looking that way to make signs to come forward or back over, whichever you had to do, like, you know. And it was one noisy place to be in, like, you know. It's, as you would, a lot of people, it wouldn't be a comfortable place to have tea, sort of stuff. But as I say, it was there. As I say, and things had gone off, like, you know, and you got used to it.
How much do you remember of the actual action when you come out? Is it clear in your mind what you've done?
No, I don't think so. You've done something and you forget all about it, like, you know. Then you may be back years or things happening, and you might suddenly, we went in that slit transition, you know. And there was no juries there, they must have just gone, you know, they must have just scarpered. Like we used to say, the scarpered out of the slit trench.
Were there any horrors? Unpleasant things that you saw.
Oh, quite a few.
How did you deal with those, or did you deal with them?
Well, really didn't deal with them so often. Like, you know, as I say, there was once I can remember when a tank was hit and it had gone up, and it just smelled like a. Your mother's oven at the weekend, like a big roast. And there was lads in there who were pulling them out, and I didn't actually do it myself, but I saw something, and they were trying to pull them out, and the skin was coming away, like, you know, being roasted, you say. And
was this in the desert?
In the desert, one of the tanks had gone up, like, you know, been it, and gone up in flames, like, you know, they hadn't time to get out.
After El Darba and the problems with the carrier, where did you go then?
Well, we're in El Darba, like, the ladder, I took around about, I might have said this before, I took 50 high ties, cut them on this truck, and just shortly after that, My mate, Bobby Vandenberg, he took about 300. He said, and fetched them all down together. Had them all lined up, like, you know. And as I say, I maybe told you that this truck it was a Opel. And it had a oil leak that had been chafing against when it went through the oil, and when it was pumping the oil all over. Well, we took that at the time, and round about there was all of the jury ammunition, all you see in the, where they'd left in a hurry, like, you know, left stuff behind, you know.
This is where you found the dump?
Found the two food dumps, one of Jerry's and one of our own. But when we found out one of our own, we didn't, to be honest, we didn't mess about with jerrys. It was there. We took stuff off, tins out, like, you know, and opened them up and looked at them, seeing what they were, and then tasted them, and if they were all right, we kept some of them, like, you know.
This kind of looting, this kind of taking supplies, would that have been frowned on if there'd been an officer present?
Maybe so. Maybe it would be. I don't know, but it was there, and you know what I mean? We don't know that jury might have caught them and he'd have kept them himself, you see? Because, as I say, the two dumps weren't far from each other, you see? This what thing. We found the jury first, very Russian dump first, and just, well, it was, you could say from sit this chair to that window, we found ours. So, it's a very coincidence, like, you know, that we buried one there, you buried one somewhere here, didn't it? Or it might have been a jury had found this dump and put it next to these, like, you know. So anyhow, we loaded ourselves up with, to be honest and truth, we loaded ourselves with the stuff we wanted. We didn't debutcher the food thing, we just took what we knew was good enough for us, like, you know. And as I say, just before that, well, just as I say, around about that, the battalion nearly took Rommel, because they caught, because the tent and everything was up there. I don't know, I was thinking that there was some photographs taken of El Darba with the Nazi flag, like, you know, and the tent still there, the big tent. And they often said, like, this is, if we'd been there a few minutes earlier, we'd caught Rommel, you see. And that's where Major Kirby got the Rommel's chair, Del Darby. That's the one he had in his house. So, and as I say, we went from there to Del Darby, and as I say, from then my career blew up. As I say, the radiator went for it, which we didn't know at the time. We thought it would be hit, you know, and a train flying on. And there's one of our lads, I can't think of his name, a big tall lad. He's one of the Shropshire lads, or was he one of the Essex lads? I don't know. He was in the carry at the back. When it burst, and he got scalded.
After leaving the LAD with the carrier, you returned to the unit. What happened to you after that?
Well, as I say, as my memory can recollect, I think we went back to clear up, like, to pick everything, like, you know, what was left behind, to pick it up.
That's to clear the battlefield.
Fact, yeah.
Were the bodies still around at that time, or was it basically just material?
Yeah, well, there were still bodies, you know, just, as you say, half buried, but you could still see some hands and some of the feet sticking out, like, but the mercy was the material sort of style. And as I say, we went from there to further on. What do you call the place? Up towards, is it Siloam? Siloam, was it? Hellfire Passway.
Up into Libya.
Aye. I think that's, in my memory, is fading a lot now, like, you know. If I'd been 30 or 40, I'd mention it. But as I say, I think we went up towards, that way, towards Fort Kafutsu and that way up the desert on towards Is it doing or something?
Benghazi.
And Benghazi, and that went on that route, like, you know, and there was, you know, a little, not a great lot of fighting then, like, you know. But the little skirmishes, like, you know, on the, when we come to, up the desert, so far up the desert, towards Tripoli, we stopped back. We were held back in reserve, the deal, as far as I understand, then. If my memory's right, like. And the 50 div, the 51st div was forward. And they took all of the carriers from all the battalions from the 151 brigade and the 150 brigade, and formed them into a scouting for the tanks, like, you know. And we were said we had different pennants every day, like, you know, they put on, say, with the red on the top, blue, yellow, like, you know, vice versa, the opposite, another way, and next day, like, you know. And we were all fit, got fitted with some Jerry 20mm guns, like, you know. And we were camping one night. I don't know if I mentioned this before, at Sirt, where we were encamped in this wadi. And while we were there, like, you know, we had formed a little concert party among the lads from the different units, like, you know, different East Yorks, Greenhouds, like, you know. And we, oh man, it was a little tabletop thing and eshing around like a stage, and the lad just said the thing. And one lad played the mouth organ, and that played a bit of a banjo sort of style, and sang comic acts and all sorts, like, you know, just passed the time away, like, you know. And while we were up there, there was an Australian officer. Must have been a doctor. I didn't know. We didn't know. We didn't know whether he was a doctor or not. He was Australian. He was up there, and he'd asked the officer if we could do it down the hospital, because there was a hospital maybe a mile away down the, further down the wadi. It was an Australian hospital, like, you know, it'd be advanced hospital. And like say, what I would say there, like, they kept the not so bad there, and if they were really bad, like, they sent them further down. I don't, we went down, like, it was Morton Gray, I can remember him. Morton Gray was a carrier sergeant. And he could do a bit of singing, he could do a bit of comedy, like, you know. So we went down and we put this on. Like, you know, Saturday, like, you know. And comic guard, like, you know, battle dress upside down, and, you know, helmets on the wrong foot, tunics wrong way around, like, you know, just definitely, like, you know, just fall in the guardy. If you want to get a shave, I did get a shave. What time did he shave? 8 o'clock, he said, get a 7 o'clock blade, he said. So, like, you know, I just forget now, but it was in that vein of thing. And, it was going off, like, you know, we could not, we just among ourselves, and the lads in the bed, like, you seemed to enjoy it. But little did we didn't know this. We didn't know this. There'd been some Australian reporters, like, had been into the hospital, taken tapes of the lads there to send home. And halfway through the thing, like, you know, I don't think it was halfway. They must have taped us and all, like, you know, the concert party, like, you know. And of course it was sent home and it was broadcasted in Australia. That I sang. It was in the Comic Guard. And, there was quite a few. Oh, it was a little enjoyable evening and all the Australian songs. It was there. Enjoyed it, like, you know.
So where did you move to next?
As I say, we went back to where we were at the camp, like, you know. And the following day, as I say, we were going to move a bit further up. Well, just then, my Thai planes come along the top of the escarpment. Coming along, and there was a convoy going along the road, you could see. Convoy down the thing. They hadn't seen us coming along the escarpment like that, and it come right along the top. As you say, we were down here. And they'd come along the top, like, you know, around to come round onto the road to go to the convoy. But they didn't, as I say, they hadn't seen us, and we got all at the carriage moved round, like, you know, pointing at them at the time, if they'd come for us. Then we waited them come round, and when there were all these carriers in us with these 20mm guns on, you know, jiris and that, we just had them on there, and we had to come around. Once they come around, they could see them going to go to die, and then they let go. Should have seen the traces. There was all sorts. We didn't know the colour were. There were all sorts. Red, yellow, green, all sorts of colours. And they're going out, going towards these high tie fighters. About four of them, three or four of them, and quite sure. But as soon as they see the flak coming at them, whoa, they're up and away and left. Aye, then. Straight off of this. They never expected that. See, they thought they were going to have an easy catch on the convoy, but they never expected us with all them guns on. Well, there was quite a few guns, you know. There was, what? There was four or no, six, I guess. Six, four, 10, 20. Oh, it was about 30 carriers and all them 20mm guns going at them along the line. We were just pumping off at them. We could see the traces because we hadn't fired them before. You know, the ammunition was there. You couldn't tell what colour they were. And when they fired, they were all sorts of colours, still flying. And the high tie fighters. Seeing the flak going at them, they didn't stop long. They just moved up on the way off, left the convoy. You know.
Were you moving up towards Tunisia now?
Up towards Tripoli. We moved up to a place. I think it was just outside, not far from Tripoli. I'm just forgetting how far it was now, but. Really wasn't a good far. To a little village up there, Gaz Garabuli. I never get that. So we stopped there. We stopped there at Gaz Garabuli because they were going to make the attack then. And the alarm sounded like duty tanks was coming through, breaking through onto the left-hand side of the village, like this. It was like this wadi. We had these guards, anti-tank guns. There were these 17-pounders. I think it was about the first time they were brought out. I may be wrong, but first time we'd seen them, anyhow. And what they had, what they'd done, like, you know, we would gargle in the thing with the carriers. And they'd had the anti-tangunners along the both sides of the ridge, like, you know, to the thing. And you'd come with the tanks, they come in and walk straight into it. Woof, woof. You'd now get the hammer there, Jiddy. So you let them come right in, and then they hammered them with these 17 pounders. They didn't go. And the 51st went into Tripoli, and took over Tripoli. And when we couldn't go in, it was days after before we went in. And when we went in, marched straight along the road with each other, and right across the road, across going into Tripoli, I mean, HD, highway decorators. That's used to get highway decorators. Oh, put it right now. And Mussolini's statue was there on the horse. Aye. They took it over, like, you know, Tripoli.
There was a lot of rivalry and between yourselves and the Highlanders.
Well, it was like, you know, pride of the divs, which was a good thing. And you had as many jocks in the 50 div as you had jories in the Ireland div. So it was no difference when you reckoned out. And as I say, they marched up and down Tripoli backpipes. We never saw it, like, you know, it was under. But anyway, when we got in and we went up through thing, and I think it was shortly after that. If you remember, we went back to our own battalions, like, you know, slipped it up again and back to the 50 div, like, you know.
You'd been working with your carriers with the guards.
With the tank,
the tanks
and the guard anti-tank gunners and that. See, we went out, we used to go out like in front, spotting, like, you know, so we could go low, we were low on a tank, like, you know, and just sniff and go out. And if we spotted anything, we just would run, come back and report that the tanks was there. The amount, if you're near enough, like, you know, you say maybe five or six, you know, then you saw five or six, and maybe you'd be five or six more, you know what I mean? So you used to do that for the tanks, so when the tanks were aware then, so they weren't just creeping up for somebody to pot shot at them. They were aware there was tanks in front of them. And sometimes, like, you know, we were out and the tanks saw rust, like, you know, ooh, they let fly rust, and we were back and it was just scoot all over, like, you know. Fluff foot down. You could hear them.
You got into one or two tight scrapes.
Ah, I like that. Oh, yeah, but just the same, you used to get away from them, like, you know. The officer who was with us there was Lieutenant Dawes, Jack Dawes, we used to call him. He was a good officer. He used to share with us, like, you know. He was a gentleman, and he had a lad among the lads, like, you know.
When you got back to the unit, how far behind were they, behind you?
Oh, we were not far behind, like, you know, because we then moved on to through Tripoli, onto where was the next place? It was Faxon that way. It was, I think there's towns before that, I can't think of them, like, you know. But If I had a map, if I'd meet, you could tell. I think there's one in my old DLI book, like, you know.
So you're moving up towards the Tunisian border?
Up towards that way, up to Marathon. Marath, and Wadi Akrit, and all them places, Wadi Zigzag, you know, where the big fight was.
As you moved towards Marath, did you know that you were going to go into a big action?
No, not really, but we knew we were going in. As I say, before that thing, we'd been on the go for a long day, two or three days. And we were moving into this quarry at night time. I had no idea where we was in, where we wasn't, you see. Just moved into this wadi, and next morning we woke. High tide, you know. Yeah. Well, I can tell you two or three stories like this. Well, we were there, we just laid alongside our carriers, like, you know. And this, he said, I forget what he called now. Little Jerry Atkinson, he comes waking up, get up. He says, there's high tide around here. Jerry says, will you get away, sir? And he says, I'll shoot there. He says, we're just getting nicely rested here. And he says, and you come see there's high tide, get away. He says, get up. He said, there's high tide around here. He says, if there's no high tide around there, he says, there's going to be one. And he says, you shot. Little Jerry. So we get us up and we get round that thing. Right. I tired. Why did you give yourself up? Like,
just give up.
It was either 20 or 30 motorbikes, gussets, big motor vehicles. There was a big vehicle, a big transport vehicle, that big bottles of vein on. Oh, cushy wooey. And we're up the wadi. And I got, in that action, I got a piano accordion. Boy, that's smashy. What a lovely piano recording I got. I sold it out there for 80 quid there, out there. Boy, what a smashy. It was a beauty. If I'd get it back home, I'd get more than 80 quid.
This is before you got to Marath.
Aye. And up into this thing, cornets and trombones and all sorts we've got up there. And these gussets, motorbikes, the transport. Just further up the wadi, there was a big hospital. Well, there must have been a battle before there, because when we went to the hospital, this hospital in there, dug out. There was some old Cheshire machine gunners laid there. And that's little Jory, he says, how long you been prisoner? I mean, bugger. He says, we've taken this place. He says, oh, get us out of here. He says, they don't know for us. He says, what? The Jory walks into the hospital and he grabs these Italian doctors. Out. He said, these. I met them. Attend to them first. And then we got onto the, further down the wadi thing up. They're getting away to somewhere, and the ambulance is up in the crack for our lads, like in the thing. Aye. Got all sorts in there. I got a lovely little hand pistol. It was no bigger than that in your hand. You could put your hand up like, you know, your leg, say your hands up like that, you could fire it. And little pearl handle, what a beauty. What a smashy.
What did you do when you picked up stuff like that? Did you hide it in your kit or?
No, just put it on the carrier. just put it on the courier.
No one ever attempted to say that shouldn't be yours and take it away.
No. That was the spoils of war. He never took it off anybody. It was there. And he didn't. He picked it up and nobody said nothing about it, so it was there.
When you took a prisoner, did you look for things in their clothing that you wanted?
Oh, yes, we just go and throw them through there. Seeing if, because he remembered had important papers on them. You say, go through them. And if you had a lovely watch, no good for you, you know. You used to say that you'll get the time told you when you want to, you say. And I mean, it's other things like, you know. But the one thing is, we never do, never took the ring off a man's hand. No way. Because I had one of my own, my 21st. And I never took a ring off a man's hand, no. But if you had a watch, and pleased me, and I fancied it.
Did they ever object to
things? No. If they start to object, like, you know, said, like, you know, it was to me, some people didn't, maybe, wasn't so maybe soft as me. Said it was some shape, keepsake, you know. Right. Mama said, oh, forget about it. Put it back in his pocket. But if he was telling a lie, you might boot up the backside, sort of stuff.